From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
All right, Chiefs Kingdom, we are back and we have a special episode today. Both Matt Derrick and Seth Kaiser are here and we're actually recording this from Arrowhead right after the game. What a game it was. Kansas City is going to be hosting the AFC Championship game for the first time ever in their history. And we have a lot to talk about.
We do. Most importantly, that now can be confirmed that Matt Derrick and I are not the same person. We are here at the same time. It's big. It's big news. Yeah. I think that's probably what most of our listeners are probably excited about, Matt.
I think we crossed over once. It was like the Harlem Globetrotters Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah, it was weird.
We were on the pod for like a minute together.
Yeah. No, I mean, best minute the pod's had.
Well, clearly.
So far. But I guess some other stuff happened. I have to say it out loud. The Chiefs are one win away from playing in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
One win. It's a good day, man.
It's a fantastic day. And Matt, I have to ask you this question. You know, you and I were texting after the game. And I saw this actually coming from the presser as well. What was your thoughts from what the Chiefs and the players said afterwards? Because from what I saw, people were saying that they were talking about how this wasn't their goal. Their goal is much further than this. They were not happy with, they were not ecstatic. I mean, they were happy they won, but they weren't overjoyed with it.
I tell you what, there were two different reactions, I thought, because you saw the players coming into the locker room and the celebration that you heard in there when it was just them, the coaches, and whatever Andy Reid said to them. I'm sure we'll get the video of that later from Chiefs Communications and their social media accounts. But that was a celebration. I mean, it really was. And it was probably the loudest one I have ever heard coming out of the locker room. But then it turned on a dime. And that locker room, I thought, was all business afterwards. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they were happy, clearly. But everybody was just really all business and very serious about, you know, the game they got coming up. It's a big deal.
You could hear them celebrating, you know, waiting outside the locker room. I mean, Travis Kelce, especially when he entered the locker room, you heard him just, let's go! And just everyone, you know, freaked out. It was a lot of fun. But I completely agree. By the time they took their 3 minutes to celebrate,
that was it, exactly.
And then by the time the media was in there, it was they were done. They were done celebrating. They had done everything they needed to do. And like Matt said, they were all business. Justin Houston afterwards, when he was at the podium, they asked if this was like the game that meant the most and the most emotional game. And he goes, "No, that'll be when we win it all," which was not really answering the question, but I like where his head's at. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely the reaction of the team. Like he said, They took their 2 or 3 minutes and then they said, awesome. Okay, now what?
Well, that's fantastic to hear because, you know, you look at this team and what they've been through this season. And I know you and I were kind of on the same page on this. And I know Seth was off in his own little world about where he thought this team could go this year,
which is where I belong.
Fair enough. But they're one win away from going to the Super Bowl and they're going to have a chance to bring home the Lamar Hunt trophy for the first time in Arrowhead next week. That's going to be a fantastic game, no matter who it is. Right now, we don't know if it's the Patriots or it's the Chargers, but it'll be a good game regardless. What else did you guys take away from the game? I will admit, you know, my seats were pretty good, but they weren't great because everything big happened away from me. But you know what? The atmosphere was fantastic.
Didn't Mahomes die for a touchdown in front of you?
Okay, you're right. Yep. That was the one play.
Other than that awesome play where the star quarterback.
I saw that play, but then there was another one, his sidearm throw.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was in the third or fourth quarter, but that was right basically where our seats were. I mean, we just saw the whole thing and he just chucked it and the guys around me are just going nuts and it was a lot of fun. Perfect.
Well, you got, and I think, was it Inman that you got to see drop the easiest touchdown catch in the history of mankind?
I don't think it was Inman. I think it was number 10.
It was terrible.
Well, yeah, because Ward got called for a defensive pass interference.
Yeah, there was a penalty.
I didn't see it.
But
I didn't see the defensive pass interference.
That was the Colts night in a nutshell.
Yep.
Because that was the easiest touchdown you were ever going to see. There wasn't anybody within 10 yards of him.
And even with the, it's not like there was any pressure on him because the touchdown didn't matter.
He got held earlier in the play, but
if they'd scored, I mean, the game was over at that point. Everyone knew it.
They were, they had checked out. They were gone.
Yeah. And they just weren't in there mentally. And
I mean, to me, there's two big takeaways from this game. One is that the Chiefs did what they wanted to do offensively, which is put this team away early and quickly because, the Colts gave up. I mean, there's no other way around it. I mean, late in the game, they were running the football. down three scores.
I had a whole
I don't know what they were
rows of Colts fan behind me screaming in the second half
because
they're running the ball.
Look, anytime you can establish the run when you're down 17 with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you have to do
it.
You got to do it. Because just think, you know, when you run the ball for 8 yards, I mean, if you just do that like 50 more times, you are back in the game, you know, provided the clock stops moving miraculously.
I have to say this, though. I'm not going to say I completely got what Frank was doing at that point, and I'm talking about their head coach, but I kind of got it because Andrew Luck did not play well. He did not look good in the first half at all. He started to look better in the second half, but you got to get the offense going, and you've got to move the ball at least a little bit. So I somewhat got it from that standpoint, but you're right. It's not enough to where you're going to be able to come back in the game. I get what you're saying. But when you have a quarterback that played as bad as Andrew Luck did in this game,
that's tough.
I want to wrap up my slamming of the Colts for one more moment because Dee Ford talked about the exact same thing in the locker room. He was asked about, you know, if the Colts did anything differently. And he's like, well, I started running the ball in the fourth quarter. I had no idea why. So hearing that from a player was absolutely fantastic. But to your point, the other big takeaway for this game for me was the defense.
Yep.
I mean, it was an absolutely dominating performance. Yep. And to me, the biggest part of it was that this is a very good Colts offensive line. They got pressure. They did. I mean, you know, picked up some sacks, which, you know, is great. But this defense talks about pestering the quarterback. And they did that better tonight than maybe they've done all season, even though they didn't necessarily have the hits and the sacks they might have had in some other games. Mm-hmm. But they were close to Luck. They had their arms up. How many batted passes at the line did they
have? 11 million.
Exactly.
Well, Chris Jones had at least three.
Three. Yeah, I know he had three. That to me, I mean, that's the game. I mean, it really is because Luck had a bad game, but I think that the Chiefs made him have a bad game.
Well,
because they were bothering him all night long.
And you watch Adam Vinatieri miss a field goal.
Yeah.
And miss an extra point. Yeah. And you're sitting there and I'm going, that just doesn't happen. I don't get it.
I need to see that field goal a few more times because that might be the ugliest Vinatieri kick of his career.
Again, it was on the opposite side of the field, so I didn't see that.
I mean, it was a low knuckleball.
I just saw it bounce. I was like, wait a second, he missed that?
That was bizarre. You know what the interesting thing about this game, I've watched that game before. I've seen that game. It's just always been the Chiefs. It has always been the Chiefs on their side. We've watched that game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where you're down early and you take all these stomach punches and then you get a little momentum and the rug's pulled on you. Get a little momentum, rug's pulled out from under you. And that happened to them over and over and over. And it was just really fun to be on the other side of that because honestly, there really was not after the first 8 minutes of the game, there was not a 10th second of the game for me because to build on Matt, you know, talking about big takeaways for the game. The biggest one for me, watching, you know, from the eye in the sky, from the all-22 film angle that you magically get in the press box, the Chiefs are a much better team than the Colts.
Yes.
And it was clear on the first offensive drive of the Chiefs that they are so much faster than the Colts.
Well, and I saw that you mentioned this during the game, and I noticed it was going on, but I wasn't 100% sure. The Colts didn't gain a first down until like a minute 20 left in the first half.
Right.
And that's fantastic. But then I was just looking on my phone. Andrew Luck had 120 passing yards before with 8 minutes to go in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
He finished with 200. So his 80 yards that he had passing in the last 8 minutes of the game where the game's already over and don't matter, it doesn't. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
And you're talking about the Colts. I saw this from Pro Football Reference. That was the only time this season that a team has not gotten their first down of the game until within the two-minute warning. The last time that it happened was 2017, Chiefs against the Steelers.
Gross.
This is crazy. So what was it, 1994 or 1995, the last time the Chiefs won a football game in Arrowhead? A playoff game in
25 years.
Arrowhead. 25-year curse is over. And more to the point, it's over against the team, against like the Colts.
That have beaten them repeatedly,
exactly. They were 0-4 against the Colts until today, so... Patrick Mahomes obviously made a huge difference, but we'll talk about that in just a second. We need to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this defense because I was really impressed from what I saw.
The NFL playoffs are here and it's time to get into the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games this year. Not this year when the 53rd Super Bowl is right around the corner. It is really the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props in the business. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you got to go to MyBookie. We trust them, but you don't have to take our word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid.
All right, so Seth, I have to ask you, what did you see from the defense?
Well, what Matt talked about, the pass rush was obviously a really big deal. They were able to hassle Luck consistently. If they didn't, in the second half, the Colts were trying to chip with running backs out of the backfield. They're providing some help with their tight ends, which if you don't think that affected Ebron's game, it absolutely does because it slows you down out of your route. If you've got a chip on your way.
He was the guy I was really worried about.
He was pretty quiet. And the Colts, their tackles could not block D. Ford and Justin Houston. And so you saw that. And then Jones and Nelson, which was one of the most, I hope people at home were watching those two. They were duking it out.
And that's one thing I cannot wait to go back home and watch.
I'll give Q credit. He played Jones as tough as I've seen anyone play him. But one thing I noticed about Jones, and this is something I want to go back and watch, I feel like Jones adjusted his game a little bit in preparation. He was looking to bat passes more than rush the quarterback some of those plays. And I think he just realized, look, Nelson's a beast. He thinks I'm trying to get by him. If I can just back him up a few yards, I can swat that. And he kept doing it. That's the obvious takeaway. The thing that wasn't as obvious from broadcast view that we could see from the press box is that the coverage down the field for most of the night was really good. They did a great job. You didn't have any blown coverages. Charvarius Ward was just all fantastic. Over T. Walt. Yeah, he was all over T. Y. Hilton all game. And
to be fair about Hilton, I will say he did look injured at times. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Ward because I think that's one thing Ward's done very well since he started playing is coming out and mirroring the wide receivers. I think the Chiefs really have something in that corner. Yeah. And it's going to be something, that we'll have to wait and see next year, but he's playing really well right now.
Well, there's no need to wait and see. I mean, he just played well in the biggest game the Chiefs have had in decades. And so that's something to really look at because some of those plays where Luck ended up getting pressured, it was after the 2 second mark.
Yeah.
And one issue that the Chiefs had, like say, if you go back to the last really, really big game the Chiefs had, we'd say maybe the Rams game, where if they didn't get pressure on Jared Goff within 2 seconds, that ball was out and someone was open.
Yep.
Whereas this game, they were able to kind of be a little more symbiotic about it. And there was a little more, the coverage was working with the pass rush. And it was beautiful to watch. It was the entire team effort. And I mean, on a final note, the run defense really came to play. The whole thing, it was interesting. A lot of people were concerned that the Colts would just come out and run them over. And I understand the Chiefs went up big early. It's not like the Colts abandoned the run game. They just couldn't run the ball for most of the game.
You're talking about the coverage, and there's one thing that stands out to me, especially over the last three games, which is that when the Chiefs made the decision against Seattle to go with Ward, to go with really Lucas as the number three guy, now the number two guy with Barry out.
And I was going to mention him.
Jordan Lucas, I thought, played a good game. You've added a tremendous amount of speed and aggression to that secondary that was missing because, Ron Parker's at a point in his career where he's a savvy player. He doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the aggression of a player and a juice like, a guy like Jordan Lucas has.
Right.
And the same thing with Travis Ward. I mean, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to get beat. But I'll tell you this. To me, going back to that Seattle game, I thought the secondary played pretty well. It was that Russell Wilson had a fantastic game.
Yep.
And then I thought that last week the secondary played even better. Mm-hmm. And I thought they played even better. This is three straight games where that secondary to me has played better and better.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. We don't know yet who. I mean, I'm trying to find out who made the decision to go with the youth movement in the secondary, to go with Ward and go with Morton Lucas. But whoever made the decision, whether it was Bob Sutton, whether it was Andy Reid, Al Harris, a group decision, that's the decision that might get this team over the hump. Because I think if they're going to win in the postseason, you got to play. That's how you have to play in the postseason. You have to play fast and you have to play aggressive. And yeah, you're going to get beat. You're going to make mistakes. But if you don't play with those two things, you're going to lose. And I see more of that in the secondary than I've seen all season in the last three games.
Absolutely.
Well, as you look at what this defense did, I mean, be fair about it. I don't know that the Colts offense ever looked like they were a viable offense in this game. I mean, even when the second team were scoring at the very end of the game, the Colts offense didn't just run the ball down the field and score it. And I thought they were going to score at the very end of the game, and I wouldn't have cared about it. But this Chiefs defense, after giving up how many points during the season, gives up 6 points in this game.
Right.
And I'm not counting that blocked punt, because right. To me, that's not on the defense at all.
Right.
I thought that I was really surprised that the Colts did not come out and try and establish the run early, because I felt like that's how they were going to have to win this game, is one, ball control, keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, hold on to it as much as they can, which requires running the football. But, you know, that's one of the, you know, weaknesses of this Chiefs team has been run mm-hmm. defense. So why you didn't challenge them, why you didn't take advantage of, I think, your offensive line and try to just run the ball, because they did establish the run at times, but they didn't do it right off the bat. And when you're down 14-0, you can't establish the run at that point. You're done. So when you throw the ball, I think it was on four of the first six plays, and I think they threw it three times on that second possession, that three and out.
Yep. Yeah, they had no yards in that second possession.
I mean, those two possessions killed them. That was the ball game.
Yeah, and it didn't make sense. You're right. You're absolutely right. It did not make sense for what they did. And I was expecting, at least watching them try to run the ball down their throat a little bit, and then maybe opening up with play action. Well, when you don't establish a run, you can't do play action because nobody's going to be biting on it. So I thought that was a really big key in this game.
They're just overall, the Chiefs were significantly more disciplined this game. The offense in the first half, they lost a little bit in the second half. There were definitely some execution issues in the second half that they'll need to clean up in terms of penalties and a few missed blocks and stuff. But the level of discipline, especially on defense, there was only a couple plays that were missed tackles that really made me want to slam my head into the table in front of me, which is that's like a fifth of what has been. And I mean, they closed well, they pursued well. I mean, I was watching, you know, Hitchens, and I was asking myself, you know, where was this? Because, you know, he missed a tackle early in the game. But then I was watching, I was like, where was this pursuit all year? Like, I mean, they just looked much better. And it's one of those mystifying things, because you just wonder what has changed here. And I'm not sure I saw too much difference schematically, but I hear again, you know, watching it live, it's tough to tell that kind of stuff.
Well, and I could be all wet on this, but I've believed all season long that, you know, one of the things that Anthony Hitchens, especially early in the season, struggled with was that I thought he was trying to do too much. I really thought he was trying to cover too much of the field, and I think a lot of their early on was just trying to make up for the injuries, you know, realizing that, hey, I got some new guys in front of me, I don't know my teammates real well, I know we've got injuries in the secondary, I've got to be ready to cover the entire field, and you can't play it that way. I mean, it's going to take away your aggressiveness, it's going to take your ability to react if you're trying to cover the entire field. And I feel like today, yeah, I think you saw it. I mean, I think you saw that the defense is trusting each other a lot more. I think they're relying on, you know, other guys to make plays and not trying to worry about making up for somebody else's mistakes. They're just, I think you're doing a better job of trusting that the guy next to him is going to make a play.
Absolutely.
And I really think that it's one thing that I was really worried about going into this game. You know, we didn't know if Eric Berry was going to play, and he ended up not playing. And I was concerned about that because of Ebron. Ebron only had 5 catches for 51 yards. I'll take that in a heartbeat.
Yep.
But, you know, the one thing I was worried about is Dorian O'Daniel not playing, because I thought that was going to be a big thing with the Colts running backs coming out of the backfield. And it didn't seem to really be an issue. Daniel Sorensen stepped up and played a lot of that, you know, inside linebacker type role. And I think they've, you know, when they have somebody that's like that, that can do that, that really helps their defense. Let's switch over to the other side of the ball right after this break.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
All right, guys. So offensively,
does that mean we get to talk about Patrick Mahomes?
No, actually.
But I want to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, we will talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
But I have to ask you a question. What did you think about Sammy Watkins? Because the first drive, I understand.
Oh, okay, sorry.
We will get to Patrick Mahomes. Okay,
sorry.
I'm curious because I was really impressed from what I saw from Watkins in the first half. And, you know, I thought he got on top of the ball, that fumble. I thought he recovered it and was down, but whatever. But what did you guys think of Watkins?
You can see with him, there were a couple plays he made in the first half. There were more than a couple plays. There were a few third down situations where he showed up. But even on the first drive, that 34-yard gain, that is not a 34-yard gain. And then the penalty afterward with Conley or Robinson. And I like Conley and Robinson. They're both perfectly fine players, but they don't have that same explosiveness that Watkins has. And then as silly as it sounds, it was just a 4-yard gain, that freakish one-handed grab Watkins made on
that. Oh, God, that was crazy.
That was.
You know, look, it sounds nuts because it's just a 4-yard gain, but the difference between 2nd and 10 and 2nd and 6 matters. The difference between, ah, crap, we let one get by us, and hey, nice catch, that matters. Football is a game of emotion and momentum. And so he adds an element that they do not have without him. And I actually tweeted this during the game. I said, look, if you can't recognize that Watkins brings something to the team that isn't entirely, you can't gauge it entirely from a statistical point of view, I can't help you. If you can't see that it's different out there with him, can the Chiefs still have a very good offense without him on the field? Absolutely. But he helps tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill find the holes in the zone they were finding, especially in the first half, without Sammy Watkins setting the tone to that big play. You're right, I didn't think he looked necessarily as fast as he can be, but on that run, that run after the catch that you're talking about, it was shifty.
Yep.
I mean, that was just a savvy veteran run. I mean, and it was really, I mean, he made it, at least a move on that play that I think shows that he's in pretty good shape. I mean, he's closer to 100% than we thought he might be.
I absolutely agree, especially when I saw how heavily his ankles were taped up.
They were taped big time.
Yeah, I mean, looks like he's wearing Uggs out there. And who knows, maybe he was. I mean, we can't prove he wasn't at this point. But he makes such a big difference. And the whole offense, you know, again, they slowed down in the second half. I think they'll take a look at some things. But they eviscerated the Colts those first few drives. It was so they just marched down the field. It was so obvious the Colts could not defend them.
And before Seth gets to the man crush on Patrick Mahomes, which is well earned.
It's true.
I want to say, get it out of the way, that the Andy Reid script at the beginning of the game was a thing of beauty.
Oh,
I mean, that was just art.
No, it was fantastic. And I have to wonder if they went and looked at this game saying, I want to prepare to play the Colts. Because they've already played the Chargers. They've already played the Ravens. They had 2 weeks, and I think they took those 2 weeks and really prepped specifically for the Colts. And they came out, and you're right. Those first two drives were great.
You give Andy Reid 2 weeks to attack a defense with this quarterback, he's going to be close to unbeatable. I mean, that's ridiculous what they did in those first 15, 20 plays today.
Yeah, and I have to give this to Seth as we're going to go talk about Mahomes now. But the one thing that impressed me about Mahomes in this game, probably more than most people would even think about, is to me, he came out and he was focused and he was ready. You didn't see anything like what he had against New England or anything like what he had against the Rams, where he came out overamped, or in the Denver game last year. He was on target, and yeah, he missed a couple of throws. He missed Tyreek Hill in the end zone down, you know, where I was sitting.
Yep.
But he was on target early in the game, and that really helped this team.
Well, yeah. They also took apart that zone early, and the Colts were switching back and forth between cover one, or it might have been cover three, with single high. I'm not sure exactly what they were doing there. I couldn't see it enough. But they were switching back and forth, and it just didn't matter. They did a great job in terms of preparation. Andy Reid, Mahomes even said afterwards from the podium, he commented that they had an idea what looks they might see. And I got to tell you, I think this game is an object lesson that a lot of people talk about going in. I wrote about it a little bit. I said, you know, look, if you're going to go against the Chiefs with any kind of cover two zone, you're going to get eaten up. And they had to start moving away from it or start shielding their coverage with blitzes and stuff because it was just too much. Mahomes, the interesting thing is, this probably wasn't even one of the best 5 or 6 games Mahomes has played this year. Maybe not even one of the best 8. But he still made a bunch of plays at critical times on third downs, the first drive. I mean, the plays got made when they needed.
if I told you before the game that Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw for a touchdown pass, are you betting that the Chiefs win?
I wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have either. I mean, I was thinking that even when they were up 21-0 and they had three rushing touchdowns at that point, I'm like, who would have ever thought they would have this lead in this game with no passing touchdowns?
Yeah, exactly. And before we go on to Seth going on about Mahomes, I have to say one other thing. You talked about Andy Reid having 2 weeks to prepare. I'm not trying to look past this next game, but just think about what that means for the Super Bowl, whoever they're going to be playing, because they're going to know, and just throwing that out there.
I'm legitimately concerned for Andy Reid's health if they make it to the Super Bowl. Because you know that dude, he already works, you know, 18-hour days. I mean, leading up to that, that guy's not going to sleep.
But this is the fun part for him.
It is. He loves it. He loves it. And like things like that, I think he thrives off that. That opening script, those first two drives, because he didn't have to use his whole opening script because they scored so quickly in the first drive. It was just a dominating performance. It's interesting. You would rarely look at, what was the final score, 31-13, I think. Yep. You would rarely look at a score like that and say, that doesn't quite sum up how not close the game was.
It was not as close as that score indicated.
Even this was closer to like the 31-6. I mean, this was not the entire second half. And look, I'm a Chiefs fan, and I wasn't getting nervous in the second half. Even when the offense stalled, and this is, it's arguably the most complete game the Chiefs have put together all season. And I'm just the defense and everything. And I mean, I could wax eloquent about Mahomes, but honestly, there's not a lot to say. I mean, he read the defense incredibly well. He made big plays when he needed to outside of structure. And that's the big thing. That's that perfect marriage I wrote about before the season when I was trying to tell you guys, I was trying to, you know, they could win a Super Bowl this season. And you naysayers, you haters.
Yep.
I was a 10-6 naysayer.
Honestly, oh, you haters, you didn't think it. But the big thing is Andy Reid gives you a schematic advantage, and Mahomes is good enough at creating outside of structure. When that schematic advantage falls apart, that it's just this unbelievable advantage the Chiefs have over every other team, because no other team has the combination of such a quarterback advantage and such a schematic advantage.
I have to throw this out there. I will never forget his sidearm pass. And I don't know if it's the third quarter or the fourth.
Those are
quarter.
Wacky to see live, aren't they?
And it was right at me.
Live,
I
mean, insane.
I was 25 rows up, and it was right at me. And I'm just sitting there going, how in the
– yeah.
It was nuts.
To me, the one was actually was the free play that crossed the field into the end zone. I mean, it didn't matter if it was intercepted. I mean, because it's a free play.
And that was so close to being
– it was so close.
He underthrew it by, 5 yards, though?
Well, he threw it too far to the right. I mean, to be fair, he was like falling out of bounds
a little bit. But he was running to his right, throwing to his left across his body, 40 yards downfield.
So
I mean, the only thing I would say, and this is a small criticism, and a very small criticism, is that it seems to me, and maybe this is just a very subjective view, but that, and I would say we're the last, 4 or 5 games, it seems that, especially in the deep ball, that he's been rushing it a bit and hasn't been getting as much air underneath it, because we saw that on a couple. We had one that was almost intercepted today, which was, I was looking at it on the one to Hill. It was only maybe a 30-yard pass.
Right.
And he underthrew it. And it's like, even in this weather, even into that wind, he shouldn't be underthrowing a 30-yard pass. He should be putting some air under it and letting Hill go get it.
Right.
But I think that some of that is just he's got that fastball. He relies on it. He knows he can throw the laser, and sometimes maybe he thinks he can throw the laser 50 yards and doesn't think he has to put some air under it. But that seems like it's been happening a little bit more later in the season than it happened early on.
I could see that.
But that's the smallest criticism I can come up with.
I have to ask the question. So it sounded like, from what I heard from Coach Reed's presser, there's no injuries coming out of this game.
It's huge.
That is huge. Were you surprised Cam Irving stepped back into the starting role?
Not entirely. I thought they would go back to it at some point, but I thought they would have done it in week 17 when it looked like he was back to healthy. He'd been full participant in practice. So I thought they were going to go back to him then. And when they didn't, made me think maybe they're changing their mind. But Cam Irving's part of their plan. I mean, he's part of their plan for next year.
It should be.
So I think it was. It seems like at this point it was just a matter of not wanting to push the injury in week 17, give him 2 more weeks of rest so he could be as close to 100% for the playoffs as they could.
Well, and it looks like it's possible maybe LDT's back next week.
It's possible. I mean, we'll find out by Tuesday. That's the deadline for when they've got to return him to the roster or shut him down. And all indications are that it looks like they probably are going to activate him.
Yeah, because at this point, I mean, you're not bringing anybody else back, so.
You know, but it's curious because, you know, one, I think the offensive line's playing pretty well. And, you know, two, it's, you know, bringing back a guy in the playoffs this time of year who's bound to have some rust.
Right.
I mean, I think there's a little bit of worry there, but then
he was playing at such a high level before he got hurt.
That's the thing.
And that's the problem because there's been some good work that's been done by the backups along the offensive line. But LDT was playing at a really high level. You got to just make sure, hey, are you 100% healthy? Because if he's 100% healthy, I don't think it takes him too long to get back in the swing of things, even in terms of like in the course of a game or practice. If he's still like, you know, I'm maybe 90%, then maybe you hold off because the line overall has done well.
Well, and honestly, I mean, you can activate him and he doesn't have to start. I mean, if he's 90% and they can play Wiley next week, if they make it to the Super Bowl,
right?
LDT is ready to go and he's going to be ready to go for the Super Bowl at that point.
Exactly.
So I think it's, you know, I think he is activated. I do think that that's going to be a great addition for them. You know, obviously the one thing we don't know about going into next week, you know, we'll see whether or not Eric Berry plays.
Yep.
Was really surprised to see him not play today. But it is what it is. You know, your Chiefs, as I said after the game, your Chiefs are headed to the AFC Championship game, and they're hosting it in Arrowhead for the first time ever. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect to me.
You guys got anything to wrap up with?
We're going to do game balls?
Oh, there you go. I forgot about that. Good call. Who's your game ball go to, Matt?
I want to give the three different guys, which is a complete total cop-out.
No.
But
with the game that we saw, I don't know that it is. So go ahead.
I've decided that it is.
It's a total cop-out. Can I split it? Can I split the game ball?
You can do two. I think two's fair. Okay. Three is excessive.
Three is definitely excessive. Okay. Then I'm going to do one offense and one defense. Mm. I'm going to go with Damian Williams because he played some closer role today, which is what this team needs. What, 120 some odd yards?
Yep.
That's huge. And they ran out the clock when they needed to, which has been a problem since they lost Kareem Hunt at times. They did that today. And I'm gonna go Tre'Davious Ward. I was really impressed. He had a big game, a couple of big breakups. T.Y. Hilton injured or not, that was a huge game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would go, because here's the deal. You could always do Mahomes. Always. So I'm gonna cheat away from that. I'm gonna split it, and I'm kidding, because I'm not a cheater like Matt. I'm gonna go with my guy, Justin Houston. He made what I would say was the biggest defensive play of the game. That sack of Luck that forced a punt, because they would have gone for it. Make no mistake.
Oh, absolutely.
That kept clock right. It just did. It completely changed the nature of the game. And that wasn't the only time that he brought him down. It wasn't the only time that he hit him. I mean, D Ford had that great strip sack, but Houston fell on it.
Yep.
I mean, that was a heads up play. Justin Houston, more than almost any other player, I root for. Just because, and this is such a silly reason to root for a guy, but just because the amount of crap that I've taken for telling people, pointing out that he's still a high-level player, and because people don't like his contract, they try to claim that he's not, which is stupid and ridiculous and wrong. And that's it's been awesome to see him be such an intricate part of this year's team. You take Justin Houston off this team and you put in an average edge rusher, I don't know if they're in the position they're in today.
I have to agree with that. You know, I will say Houston is not 27 or 2014 Houston, but you know, you're not going to get that for a long time. Honestly, I'm going to go away from the normal guys. I'm going to go with Travis Kelce. Yeah. And the reason I'm going to go with Kelce was he had so many big catches at big moments in this game.
He did.
And he did. That was so huge for this team. I loved what I saw from Watkins. I thought Hill looked good, although I think he got injured at times and looked like he was a little gimpy. So hopefully he can come out and be all right going into next week. And Mahomes looked like he got hurt at one point during the game. I mean, he continued to play through it, but.
Well, then he ran for a touchdown later. He said afterwards he felt fine. It was just a little gimpy for just a minute.
Was it? Okay.
Yep.
Thank you for that. Well, I just thought Kelce played a fantastic game
yep.
and hit holes when they needed to be hit and caught the balls You know, he caught most of his targets. I think there was one target I can remember where it was a long deep pass on a, what was it, a 3rd and 20, and he couldn't get up high enough for the ball. But
yep,
you know, every other pass I remember going his direction, he caught.
How many times this season and in this game have you seen Travis Kelce catch a ball short of the sticks and somehow find a way to get the first down? I mean,
he's been
a first down machine.
Yeah, it happened 3 times this game, I believe.
He just seems to instinctively at this point is trying to know where he needs to get.
Yep. And I don't worry about jinxing him when I say this because of the way he's been playing. But there used to be a time when Travis Kelce would catch the ball and you're thinking, just hold on to the ball.
Yep.
I don't worry about that anymore. Even when he's in traffic, I'm like, he's been taking care of the ball and it's been fantastic. Now I will give another shout out to another guy, and I'm not going to give him a game ball, but I thought Tremont Smith.
Falling on that fumble. Was a game changer.
That was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
Because that just changed the face of the game. If they get that fumble there, I mean, it's a completely different ball game.
And I should note, just because this is important to me, I need to check the film and make sure that Mitch Morse did not give up a sack, because I did a story on Friday, talked to him about the fact that he had 1,543 consecutive snaps without giving up a sack. He's gone back to 2015. It was the last time he surrendered one. And he told me that if he gave up a sack today, it was my fault. So,
you know,
I'm just hoping that when I look at the film, he did not surrender a sack.
If you messed with my large adult son's streak, I'm going to be upset. He'll never
do the pod with me again.
Yeah.
Well, we're 600 in, and this is the first time. So I think, you know, chances are
another 600 before we'll get together.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening, and we've had a fantastic time. Matt, Seth, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. And this is going to be it for us today. And Ryan and I will be back with you tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and go Chiefs, and enjoy this win.
2 more games.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.